Do you want to uncover the future of real estate? And how will the World Economic Forum, or WEF as it's called, WEF, impact the future home ownership of all real estate investors? Welcome to the Mira Crute Radio Show, and we'll look at the future of real estate unveiled, where we explore the profound impact of World Economic Forum reforms on your home and investments. Today, we'll delve into 10 compelling examples that illustrate how these reforms will shape the future of real estate worldwide. Number one, the sustainable development. We'll be discussing in the weeks following how the World Economic Forum focuses on sustainable development goals and how that will influence real estate practices from construction to property management. Number two, and I've done a few shows on this, smart cities. Explore how WEF initiatives are driving the development of smart cities and the integration of advanced technologies into real estate, transforming the way we live and work. Number three, climate resilience. Learn about the forum's efforts to address climate change and how it will impact real estate investments, including the rise of green buildings and sustainable infrastructure. Number four, digital transformation. Discover how the WEF reforms are accelerating the digital transformation of the real estate industry, from virtual property viewings to blockchain-based transactions. Number five, inclusive growth. We'll examine the forum's emphasis on inclusive growth and its implications for affordable housing, urban development, and equitable access to real estate opportunities. Number six, remote work revolution. And of course, we understand that because having gone through the pandemic in 2020, everyone was working from home and not many people want to go back, and I don't blame them. We'll discuss the impact of WEF reforms on the remote work revolution and its influence on property demand, urban planning, and the concept of home. Number seven, global economic trends. Gain insights into how global economic trends identified by the WEF will shape real estate markets, investment strategies, and property values. Number eight, reshaping urban landscapes. Explore how WEF reforms are reshaping urban landscapes, fostering mixed-use developments, and reimagining the design of cities for a sustainable future. Number nine, real estate investment shifts. Delve into the evolving landscape of real estate investments, including the rise of ESG, which stands for environmental, social, and governance criteria and impact investing. And finally, number 10, policy implications. Finally, we'll discuss the policy implications of WEF reforms on real estate regulations, land use planning, and government incentives for sustainable development. So join me in the weeks following, where I will unravel the intricate web of World Economic Forum reforms and their far-reaching implications for your home and investments on the future of real estate unveiled. So we're just going to listen to a video right now, I think, that you will find very interesting, because what the WEF says is that you will own nothing and you will be happy. So let's see what that really means for us as homeowners.
When we talk about collective ownership, we are often told that the great thing about it is that everybody will own. The reality of the thing is that nobody but those in power own.
The Great Reset is an idea put forward by the World Economic Forum to fundamentally restructure the global economy in the wake of COVID-19. But what are some of the dangers inherent in this ideology? Joining me to discuss is Douglas Kruger, who's a speaker and author focusing on political correctness. Douglas, could you tell our viewers what is this idea of the Great Reset exactly, and what are some of the risks attached to it?
Like many of the politically correct ideas that we hear bandied about in the media, this entire project is couched in in kindness. It is presented as something that is being done or being proposed for our good and for the greater good. And that always sets my alarms and sensors going, because that tends to lead to very problematic ideology. In a very quick nutshell, the proposal out of Davos is essentially this: a group of exceptionally powerful individuals, predominantly in the banking, finance, and business sector, in alliance with government leadership, are proposing that as a result of these COVID lockdowns that have done a great deal of damage to economies globally, they perceive that they now have an opportunity to rebuild economies, but to do so in what they believe is a more enlightened fashion.
Now, this is where we have no rights to even have an input into what they're going to do with our future lives. And in fact, and you will notice with Douglas Kruger, that it's the opposite of what they're saying. In fact, we will own nothing. And if you don't have land, you have no power. See, they want to bring us back. This is a very communistic, fascist. The World Economic Forum is based out of fascist, communist ideas. And they're going to bring it right down to us, the little people, that we don't have any rights to what we think, what we do, where we live, what we eat. Okay, they want us to eat bugs, of course, right? And if you don't believe me, please go to World Economic Forum in Davos in 2024 and watch the segments that are going on there. I have been following them for a couple of years now, and I have been reporting, but I don't think it's really hit many people about what is really happening to our world and our world of real estate, and especially in the North American countries and also in European countries, including Australia and New Zealand, where we have come such a long way from neo-feudalism. So when I say feudalism, does anyone really know what it means? What it means is that you have no rights to your land or your home. You are basically renting from, let's say, in the Middle Ages, it was maybe a kingdom or a dukedom. So what you were doing is they allowed you to live on that land, but you had to work for the duke or the king or whomever it was that owned that land. You were not even allowed to leave the property unless you paid them. You still paid a tax and you still had to work for them a certain amount all week long. Now, the children couldn't get married without the feudal lord saying to you, yes, you can get married now, or your daughter can get married. So please be very much aware. If you think this is going to be this wonderful new project of the world, we're just going backwards. See, the world goes around in a circle. And I don't think many people, like they say, if you don't know history, you're bound to repeat history. And I'm trying to share my knowledge, my experience, and what I've learned, because after the Second World War, my parents came from Europe. My father lost his land completely. He couldn't go back, otherwise he'd be thrown into jail. So, you know, owning land, owning your home is basically something new since the Second World War, where you owned your house, you had a family, you had a car. Before that, it wasn't like that at all. I don't think you really realize how fortunate we have been up until now, and these so-called elites, with Klaus Schwab being at the top of it, says, no, we're going to take you backwards. We're going to send you right back, pre-Enlightenment, to the neo-feudalism, communistic, fascist society. So let's keep on going, and let's hear what Douglas Kruger says.
And there are, generally speaking, there are problems with the idea of groups of people in power deciding the history of humanity. In the best case scenario, we are simply supposed to be free to determine our own futures, our own progress, what we want out of life. Now, in this particular case, what they're proposing is a sort of collectivist idea that takes personal ownership out of the equation. The little phrase, and it sounds so innocent, is you will own nothing and you will be happy. Now, if you go back just several hundred years, the founding father and first president of the United States, which was essentially a project founded on the idea of human liberty and freedom, pretty much for the first time in modern history, George Washington said, there is no such thing as personal human rights without property ownership. And he said that for several very interesting and important reasons. But the principle is sound. If you are dependent on a greater power for everything, then you are not free. You place yourself as an individual in quite a precarious situation. It was, in fact, the formula for living, the sort of political reality for most of human history.
That's it. We owned nothing. Just since the Second World War, and it was an idea that, you know, the immigrants would come, they were fleeing persecution in Europe, and they came to North America to flee the persecution of religion or land that they didn't own. So they came to the United States and to Canada because they wanted that freedom. And are we really willing to give that up to some people, these communists? Again, they tried this already. We've had socialism with the Nazis. We had communism with Stalin. You want to go backwards instead of going forward? And people are embracing this. They're teaching them in school about this. And people don't understand. They're not seeing, you know, there's step A, there's step B, there's step C. And people, if you don't learn history, you are bound, like they say, if you don't know history, you're going to bound to repeat it. So let's keep going here.
If you look back at a simple setup like the serfs of Europe, this is a group of people who owned nothing and simply contributed to the overlord who determined what they could and could not have. And they had zero rights. It is the property that you own that actually ensures your rights to a great degree. So while this may sound like a very enlightened idea, sort of a communal, collectivist utopia, there are many problems with this once you start thinking about how it might actually be implemented. And that's what concerns me.
So, Douglas, is there a risk here that we could see an encroachment of state power into the lives of ordinary individuals and essentially a kind of creeping tyranny that takes hold?
Well, economist and historian Dr. Thomas Sowell makes a very interesting point about how humans evaluate political systems. And he says we make the terrific mistake of evaluating them based on their kindly sounding intentions before the fact, rather than on their outcomes after the fact. And he proposes the idea that our world, our politics would look very different if we had to judge each thing that politicians and governments try based on the outcomes instead of the intentions.
Yes, and unfortunately, it makes it sound so sexy, the intentions. But the reality is that we are going back into a type of tyranny where if you don't own something and you're renting, you don't own anything. And that means your home, even your children. If you look at what's going on right now, people don't even have rights over their children. They can take your children away from you. So and the next thing here, and I have discussed this in the past, is that you're not even allowed, they don't want you to even have a car. And Gobert in Canada said that he's not going to put any more money towards building you roads. What does that mean? Like, please be aware that you may not realize this, but most of the politicians in power now, whether they're prime ministers or presidents, are actually globalist thinkers. And most of them went to the school of Klaus Schwab. And what he did is that he had the school of they're called young globalists. And he mentions that most of the politicians in Justin Trudeau's cabinet are young globalists. So when you look at Freeland or when you look at Trudeau, when you look at Biden, who are they kowtowing to? Are they kowtowing to us, who we have voted them in? No, we're not, and they're not. They are kowtowing to the World Economic Forum. So they don't care about us anymore. This is why all these illegal migrants are coming into the country, because what they're going to do with that is they're going to have them have property rights where they take it from you. They're going to force them into your home. They're going to allow them to be banditos on the streets. And they also will have them get jobs where you don't have the right to have a job, even though you're a Canadian or American. And next of all, they're going to vote for Biden, or they're going to vote for Trudeau. So we are bringing these people into our country to destroy our country. And we must stand up and say no to this. And as you know, at the very beginning, I went through the 10 things that the World Economic wants to do with our real estate or our lives. Well, don't be fooled. It sounds wonderful, but it's not. And I have produced a number of shows. You can go and you can view them on Real Estate Media News Network, which is my YouTube channel. I have over 308 videos there. And many of them have to do with 15-minute cities, C40 cities, World Economic Forum. Please, by all means, go and watch them. And if you don't like what I have to say, please go and watch other YouTube videos. Get away from the mainstream media because you're not hearing the truth. You need to go behind the curtains, and that's through YouTube or Twitter. Twitter, there's so much truth going on in Twitter. So how many of you are really paying attention to what is being posted on Twitter that will affect you, our family, and our rights? We'll just continue here.
At the intention stage, it is remarkably easy for smooth politicians to stand up and say kindly sounding things. Now, the sorts of things that we're hearing from Davos and from the likes of the proponents of the Great Reset.
Okay, here we go. Welcome to 2030. I own nothing, have no privacy, and life has never been better. And you know who said this? Ida Auken, Member of Parliament from Denmark. Now, she is one of the globalists, the young globalists. So if when you look at all the politicians, doesn't matter which country it is anymore, they all belong to the World Economic Forum. This has been something that Kissinger started, and Klaus Schwab was one of his so-called students or disciples. And then Klaus Schwab has pushed it forward. And I remember hearing about Davos years ago. And of course, everyone was saying, you know, conspiracy theory. No, it never was. But you see, the elites say that it's a conspiracy theory because they don't want us to know really what's going on. So they shut people up by saying it's conspiracy theory. But dear friends, the conspiracy is on us. And unless we stand up and unless we take full measure to control what's happening in our world, in our country, in our province, in our state, we will lose all sense of who we are. And every single day I see things happening. I don't know if you do, but I see things happening every single day that is gnawing away from my rights as a human being, as a Canadian or as a North American. It's every single day. In fact, if you look at what's happening in California and what is happening in Florida, how do you get people out of their home so the government can buy the properties or BlackRock can come in and buy the properties? Is you raise the rate of insurance so high that no one can afford it. You raise the rate of taxes so high that no one can afford it. So all of us, they want us all to become renters. Because when you're a renter, you have no rights. Like Douglas Kruger says, if you don't own land, you don't own nothing. So let's continue going over here.
All talk about collectivist and communal living and how nobody will own anything. But now consider for just a second, that is already a fallacy. Someone, somewhere, has to own. And in fact, what happens is, if you take ownership out of the hands of a broad-based populace and of many separate entrepreneurs and families and individuals, and you concentrate it into the hands of, say, a few multinational corporations working together with government, well, firstly, that system is, by definition, fascistic. This idea of an all-powerful government and the businesses that work in conjunction with them.
And this is what's happening. And it started happening, actually, at the time of the coronavirus. Because if you remember, they didn't allow small businesses to stay open. They only allowed the big corporations. So when you see corporations hand in hand with the government, that's fascism. That is fascism. And then that from fascism, it goes into communism. And don't think you're going to be able to get away with anything. They're breaking down the whole system. And I'm so glad I found this video to share with you. So let's continue. So we don't want to go through fascism.
It leads very quickly to cronyism, to the types of corruption that we see, particularly in South Africa, where we are so keen on talking about business and government collaborating. And doesn't that just sound like such a good thing, business and government collaborating? What happens there is you have the people who own the rules, enforce right and wrong, and have a financial incentive to be corrupt, working with the people who have the money and have an incentive to corrupt them. It's a dreadful formula just to begin with. However, what concerns me is perhaps on a bigger scale than that. When we talk about collective ownership, we are often told that the great thing about it is that everybody will own.
You don't. Do you remember they talked about the kibbutz? Do you remember that years ago? I remember that was very fashionable. Well, what's happened to the kibbutz? You own nothing. You know what? You only have one leader. And if you have a business, you have a president, right? Then you have the other people that are working with you. So too in your own household. Like, you can't have somebody, a stranger, come in. Now, in communism, they would put a family, like if you owned a home, they would force another family to come and live with you. So, and this, if you notice, if you're paying attention to, what's being reported that's happening in New York City, is that they're asking families to take in these illegal migrants. But people don't want that because you'll never get them out. And as it is, even when the migrants go into these big fancy hotels, they say, no, we don't want to leave. So we're making such big problems. And you are mixing people that don't belong together. Like, it takes time for people to integrate. And basically, when you leave the borders open and you don't check who's coming in, guess what? You're going to have all the criminals coming in, which has been proven in the United States, especially New York City, where policemen are getting beat up and then they let them go.
Reality of the thing is that nobody but those in power own. And that impulse to take away private property ownership and to concentrate it into the hands of a representative government is purely Marxist. I mean, it is the heart and soul of the Marxist idea, which, stripped down to its basics, is nobody owns property, it is collectively owned. And as I say, of course, the fallacy there is that it is not actually collectively owned, it is owned by those in power. Now, what can go wrong with that? Well, if we look at modern-day China, we get a very good example of this one. Modern-day China, of course, a bit of a mixed economy. They have prospered to the degree that they've started permitting free trade. However, they are still very much a Marxist society. And they work according to social credit scores. And social credit scores, imposed by law, represent a very chilling idea. Now imagine this, for example. You as a family do not own your home. You do not own what is around you. You do not own your business. The government has absolute control because they are the representative of collective ownership. Now imagine a scenario in which you do something that the government does not approve of. You read a book that it doesn't want you to read. You write an essay or an article that it doesn't like. You create a YouTube video commenting on something in a negative way. Now, those are all things that productive human beings do to critique and build and grow their society. But you can't do it there. And if you do something that the government disapproves of, using these social credit scores, they can ghost you. They can effectively lock you out of your world. And it works because you don't own anything.
And that's exactly what's going on now. I was actually listening to, I think, a YouTube video now. And they were saying that in Britain, they're asking people, they're getting rid of people out of their homes and putting illegal migrants into their homes. Think about that. You own that property, but the government says, you don't own that anymore. We're going to put somebody else in there and you go and live off of the streets. And this is happening in Australia also. So please don't get caught up. You have to stand up. You have to say no. And Trudeau is wanting us to become whatever, a fascist government. He is a fascist. He doesn't care about us. I mean, if you think about the politicians now, and I remember growing up, You know, when you see all the beautiful work that's being done, the infrastructure of our countries and our cities, the people who were in power cared about us. But I'm going to tell you, it's been about 20 years now that I keep saying to my friends, the government couldn't care less about us. They're doing nothing. They're just arguing between each other. But who's taking care of the infrastructure that we're paying with our taxes? And then where's my money going to fight a war that we have no right to be in? And so we have people, Canadians, living on the street, have no jobs, are on drugs, like you can buy fentanyl for 50 cents. What was that all about? It's there to break the spirit of the people. And as I've said before, and I will continue, I have been producing these videos for about 2 years, but I don't think people really understood what I was trying to say. I'm just trying to send the alarm bells to you, my dear friends, that you have to protect your family, your children, your religion, your taxes, your home. You have to speak up. So I'm going to be closing now with a little thought for you, and I will continue this conversation in the future. What are you going to do to defend your rights for your own home, your family, your religion, and for yourself to be able to live freely? And yes, you want to own, because if you don't own anything, you have no rights. So I'm going to say goodbye for now. Thank you for joining me. And I will see you again. Ciao for now. Bye-bye.